This is Digital Story Podcast number 874, December 20th, 2022. Today's theme is, what's it going to be in 2023? I'm Derek Story. Just when I thought I had everything dialed in, 2022 happened. The enclosure for my backup hard drive died. Capture One Pro took another step toward its subscription model, and I was banned from Twitter. Now, this seems like a good time to take a step back and re-examine my entire photography ecosystem. And if you're interested in doing the same thing, why don't you join me today, listen on, and we'll figure this out together. I hope you enjoy the show. So I like to plan for the year coming up just because there's already enough surprises. So I figure, okay, if I have a plan in the different areas, you know, my business plan, my finances, my photography workflow, if I have plans at least, then it seems like when changes come, I can better deal with them. And today we're going to focus on photography workflow. Now, in the past, the last couple of years, I've been really focusing on the business plan and finances because, well, COVID-19 just sort of took all of that, turned it upside down, right? Well, we got that figured out, honestly. I mean, we have the nice balance of online workshops, physical workshops, started some new things online, just kind of rolling along in that area. And I feel pretty good about 2023 on the business plan side of things. And a lot of that is thanks to you. Yes, thanks to your support, your participation, and getting behind these changes we've had to make over the last couple of years. However, I'm not quite so tickled with my photography workflow and what has happened there. I mean, I've had all sorts of things happen in 2022, especially the second half of the year, that they're going to have a direct impact on my 2023, and I'm going to have to figure some stuff out. So I thought, okay, since I have to figure some stuff out, let's do this together, because chances are good, if I'm having to think about this, there's probably a few things that you have to think about as well. Let's all join arms here and do this as a group. Here's how I like to do it. I like to divide up my photography workflow into five basic areas: capture, organization, processing, backup, and sharing. Now, I tend to lump organization and processing together because of the kind of applications I use. Applications like Lightroom, Capture One Pro, and Photos, they do both. They allow you to organize and I can edit my images in them. So I put them together, but I have to make sure that I think about them individually as well, because if something changes in one of the areas, then I need to be aware of that and think about it in terms of the whole photography workflow. So those are the five areas. So what I thought I would do is talk about each of the five areas and, you know, let's see what we're going to do in 2023, starting with capture. Now, this is the good news area for me because we're talking about cameras, lenses, and gear, right? What I use to actually take pictures. And I'm in good shape there. I have the new OM system, OM-1, which I absolutely love. I have the Fujifilm X100V, which I'm also crazy about. And I'm still using my workhorse, my Pentax KP DSLR, and I use it almost exclusively for event photography. And, you know, the main reason for that, isn't it funny how a lens can drive your use of a camera? And for event photography, I have to do a lot of medium telephoto stuff. Lens has to be fairly bright because a lot of times I'm indoors and flashes, you know, don't work for a lot of situations I'm in. And Pentax just has this crazy 70mm f2.4 lens, DA, that is an amazing lens. Anyone who's ever shot with it will tell you that. The KP is an APS-C sensor, so, you know, you get a little bit of a crop factor with it. So you get the 1.5-ish crop factor with that lens. So it turns out to be about a 105 f2.4. And it is just beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. So when I do event photography, I don't like to change lenses any more than I have to. So I leave that 70 millimeter f2.4 on the Pentax, and then on my OM, what I do is I usually put, you know, the 12 to 40 f2.8 Pro, the new one, on there. I start out with that. Sometimes I need more reach and I'll have to switch to the 40 to 150 f2.8 Pro. So it's going to be one of those two lenses, generally speaking. And then I just leave that mild telephoto on the Pentax. And I'll tell you, so I'll be shooting with the OM system, the zoom, and doing all that stuff. And then someone will come up to the podium, and I just want to get some nice shots. I want to have a nice shutter speed. I want to raise the ISO. I want to do all that stuff. And that's where that Pentax lens really comes in. So I will probably keep that KP for quite a while, thanks to that wonderful lens that they have. And I just think it's so interesting how one lens can just like keep a camera in your lineup indefinitely. And that's the case for me with the Pentax. So I'm good with my cameras. I'm very happy with them. And I love saying that. I don't need any lenses. And the only thing that I may look at in the second half of 2023 is the latest iPhone. I think it's going to be what, iPhone 15 in the fall of 2023. I'm still hanging in there with my iPhone Pro Max, my 12. It's still working great. I was very tempted to upgrade it this year, and I just go, I don't really need to. I mean, I want to, but I don't really need to. So I resisted upgrading this year. So I'm just going to wait and see what they do with the next iPhone in the fall. That will probably be the only thing in the world of capture that I have to do an upgrade there. And as we've talked about over the course of this year, you know, the smartphone has become a very important part of my photography because, you know, with the three different cameras, the ultra wide, the wide, and then that mild telephoto on there, that is essentially three lenses in my pocket. And again, that keeps me from having to change lenses a lot on my camera. And plus, I can just pull it out and grab something with the iPhone really quickly during events or when I'm, you know, out in the world. So I just love having a good smartphone camera in my pocket while I'm doing my work or while I'm just enjoying life. So other than possibly a new iPhone in 2023, I'm great on the capture side. But unfortunately, it starts to go downhill after that. Organization and processing. So for the moment, for 2023, technically, I'm okay. For work, I use Capture One Pro 23, and I have a perpetual license for 23. So I should be okay for at least the first half of the year into what they said around September, something like that. After September, I may have some hard decisions to make. And, you know, we talked about this last week. Capture One Pro, I think, really pushing us toward a subscription model. We're going to actually talk more about that a little bit later in the show. I got some pushback from Capture One. They're saying, no, 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 we still offer a perpetual license. And I'm going, yeah, but you're changing the perpetual license so that, in my view, in my understanding, it's less attractive and really with the feeling that we want you to sign up for the subscription. And they're going, no, 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 you can do anything you want. So I'm not going to say that they're gaslighting me here. I'm just going to say, you know what? All right, fine. I'll keep an open mind until February 1st, 2023, when they do the final announcement of what they're going to do with all this perpetual license and their loyalty model and all that stuff. So I'll just keep an open mind until then. But there's a very good chance that in the second half of 2023, I may have to be thinking about what I'm going to have to do. I don't know. You know, if they do something, if they draw a hard line on this, on the perpetual license, which I really like, then I'm just going to have to look at everything. And we're going to talk about some of the alternatives today. So that area right now is a really big question mark. I just know that I'll have to look at it, but right now I don't have to make a decision. I have my license for Capture One Pro 23. I'm using it. I really like it. I like that app a lot. And I'm hoping I don't have to make a change. And then for my personal stuff, my mobile photography, where I use the iPhone, I have Photos for Mac OS Ventura, and it's really good. I mean, it's so good. That combination of, you know, using the iPhone with Photos, it's just so easy, automatic backup, all that stuff, working great for me. So I'm fine there, and I don't foresee any changes with my mobile photography other than the phone itself, but my workflow feels really good there. Capture One Pro is the big question mark for the second half of 2023, and we'll be talking about that, especially after February 1st, when we hear what the details of what they're going to do, and we'll definitely be talking more about this in February. All right, backup. I'm flirting with danger in the backup area. So my Drobos are aging, right? They're not supported technically by Ventura, even though I can access them with my Ventura computers, but I can't use Drobo dashboard and stuff. And then I had a nice little 2-drive RAID. I didn't lose any content, but the enclosure just died. It just went toes up on me this year. And that was sort of my in-between. So my Drobos were more my archiving, and then my RAID was more my everyday. Here's a project. I just want to have it on another hard drive in addition to my computer, and I was using the RAID for that. So on my local backup, I'm really not in good shape. The Drobos are working, but I've definitely got to figure something out for 2023. And then my intermediate backup, I'm back to just using individual hard drives, which I hate because then it just becomes kind of a mess. Peak 2 just came out with a new version, version 1.3, and it's doing, I think, a really nice job of allowing me to peek into my different hard drives. So it's sort of saving me right now. That software is sort of saving me right now as I figure this all out, but I've got to pull this together one way or another in terms of my physical backup. And then in terms of cloud backup, I'm using mainly iCloud 1 terabyte plan, which does give me a lot of backup, and it automatically handles my mobile stuff. And I put the best of my work on there as well from my other shoots, but it's not an ideal solution. And I really sort of need to figure that out. And I have Dropbox. So this is probably sounding kind of familiar to some of you, where I just got this hodgepodge where a couple things have just gone toes up on me, and it's just made my hodgepodge more hodgepodgey. This is definitely a priority for me in the first quarter of 2023 to get my head around this and start making some headway. So there we go, underlining backup for 2023. My sharing, it's in a very volatile situation right now. So I feel like I'm moving away from social, not because I necessarily wanted to. I feel like I'm being forced away from it, honestly. The permanent suspension from Twitter really was painful for me, in the sense that I was using Twitter and Twitter API on the Digital Story, a box at the top, you know, above the fold at the Digital Story, so I could update the site easily every day. You know, I didn't have to log on to the computer and go through, you know, my content manager and all that stuff. I could just do it from my phone or my iPad or whatever I had. And all I had to do was tweet, and then that content went to the top of the Digital Story on that far right column. And now that's gone. That's gone. And so my easy way to update the website has gone toes up on me. So, you know, we're looking at what to do there. You know, we're talking about, well, do I flow Facebook content through there? Do we try to set up Instagram up there? Do I do something new like Mastodon? I mean, I don't know exactly what I'm going to do there, but I would like an easy way, you know, to update the site, that area of the site, without having to write a new blog post altogether. So still trying to figure all that out. I'm not crazy about the Facebook route, to tell you the truth. We have a nice little group, the Digital Story Facebook group, that I like a lot. You know, I do post there a couple times a week, but I don't know if I want to use that, you know, to update Digital Story. And I just don't know if I want to be too tied to Facebook, because that area feels very volatile to me as well. And I feel like as soon as I get something set up there, it may go wacky on me. I don't know. So what I do know is that things that I'm more in control of seem to be working a lot better. So we have Mighty Networks that we're using for our workshops and for our Inner Circle group. And that feels very stable, and I love that. I pay for it. That probably has a lot to do with the stability of it. So we have Mighty Networks. And then Substack is working out very well, and that allows me to talk directly to subscribers, you know, once a week, and that's free. And I can really communicate a lot of good stuff via Substack, because they have a lot of tools. And it also puts my content on the Substack network, which means I'm being introduced to new people there. And about half of my new subscriptions to Substack in the last few months have been from the Substack network. So I love that. So that's working pretty well. And then, of course, I'm still writing for Medium, and that's going nicely as well. So I'm doing okay. I feel like I'm evolving quickly. I mean, Mighty Networks is new during the pandemic. Substack is new in 2022. Medium, I think, has been almost 2 years now. So these things are relatively new. I just have to figure out, you know, am I going to do any sort of microblogging via Tumblr, Mastodon, or whatever? And that remains to be seen. So that's one of the question marks that I have. And, you know, on any of this stuff, if you have a great suggestion for me, if you go, you know, Derek, the Tumblr API that you can embed on your website's fantastic, and I know people that are using it, you should really take a look at it. I mean, if you have thoughts along those lines, you know, send me an email at dstory@gmail.com and let me know what you think, because I'm really trying to figure this stuff out right now. Okay, that is my overview right now. So I definitely have some things to work out in 2023. We'll have to see what Capture One Pro does. I'll have to see what I'm going to do around the social. And I definitely got to figure out some backup stuff. I'm curious as to how this compares to what you're looking at for 2023. And, you know, I do post a podcast on our Digital Story Facebook page. If you want to jump on there, if you do use Facebook, if you want to jump on there and tell me what you're looking at for 2023, share that. I would really like to see what's going on with you. It always seems like there's something that we're trying to figure out. And for me this year, a lot of photography stuff in 2023. What are the best alternatives to the Adobe Photographer Plan? And this is an article that's on fstoppers.com. You can read the entire piece there. I have the link in the show notes. And I like this piece. I'm citing this piece because the author really does go through all the different plans. I'll give you a little overview here in just a second. Let me read you the first couple paragraphs, and then I'll tell you what he's talking about. Adobe ruled the waves for image processing. However, ever more people are jumping that ship in favor of alternative methods. I'm going to put a little brackets in there. Some of them may be jumping back in 2023. We'll see. Most have similar functions, and each has its advantages and disadvantages. If you are thinking about changing, here are some alternative combined digital asset management, photo development, and editing options. All right, let me go over to that article right now. I have it up here on the screen. So then he goes into, and he starts out with the Adobe Photography Plan itself. And he's going, it's still considered the industry standard between the programs included in the plan, Photoshop, Lightroom, Lightroom Classic. It does most things a photographer might want to do. A wide range of plugins are available for Photoshop to give it the functions it lacks, and Lightroom Catalog is a standard by which others are measured. Although it's not the most expensive option, at just under $120 a year, there are far more cost-effective options, and that would be if you did some sort of cheaper perpetual license type application, and he's going to get into that. But I have to tell you that $120 a year is not looking so awful if Adobe holds that line, and I think they will based on the next story that I'm going to do, compared to basically any other subscription model. So yes, so then he gets into Photoshop Elements, which honestly, I've never warmed up to that application. Talks about Capture One Pro with maybe not the latest information here, because a perpetual license is $299 and it recently introduced annual subscription for $179. Well, that wasn't recent. It's done that for quite a while, and they're really going to be changing that plan. So we'll just put a bookmark on Capture One Pro. DxO Photo Lab 6 he has here, which is an application I really like. I talked about it last week. And you can get a perpetual license for the Elite Edition, which has everything in it, for $219. He does On1 Photo Raw 2023, ACDC Ultimate 2023, AfterShot Pro 3, and PaintShop Pro 2023. I haven't looked at AfterShot for a while. I kind of liked it, but it's been a while since I took a peek at it. And then he goes into the free options. So there's a lot of stuff here. And the reason why I'm bringing up this app, that if you just want an overview kind of what's going on with the links to the apps and all that kind of stuff, this is a nice little article that gives you a 5,000 foot view of the photography software landscape. It's pretty nice. I'm telling you that Adobe Photography Plan now is looking pretty reasonable compared to a lot of the options out there. So anyway, if you're curious about what else is going on, this article's a nice overview. Adobe made $17.61 billion in 2022, $10.46 billion on Creative Cloud alone. This is interesting to me. You can read the entire article on petapixel.com, and I have the link in the show notes. Adobe's fiscal year 2022 earnings have been released, and the company achieved a record revenue of $17.61 billion, which represents a 15% year-over-year growth. Creative Cloud revenue grew to $10.46 billion on its own. The financial results for the Silicon Valley-based software company are, in a word, impressive. Adobe achieved revenue of $4.53 billion in its fourth quarter of fiscal year 2022, which represents a 10% year-over-year growth. Adobe's annual numbers are staggering. The digital media segment saw revenue of $12.84 billion, which represents 11% year-over-year growth. Within that, Creative Cloud revenue grew to $10.46 billion, representing a 10% year-over-year growth. Looking at just the revenue for Adobe Creative Cloud, it's no wonder that Capture One is strongly pushing to shift its business model to subscriptions. Adobe has seen wild, incredible growth basically every year since it did away with the Creative Suite and moved to the Creative Cloud. And any business in this segment is obviously going to look at Adobe's strategy in order to remain competitive. Photographers can ask for perpetual software until they're blue in the face, but no company is going to turn down this kind of revenue. Well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? Oh my gosh. So it's interesting to me that when I talk to software companies, they go, no, we'll always have the perpetual license and all of that. But you know they're looking at these numbers. You know they're seeing what Adobe is doing here and the kind of revenue they're raking in. And I just have to say that for those of us who like perpetual licenses, that those days are probably numbered. I just feel like it's an uphill battle. I saw another article that I was thinking about talking about on the podcast today, and it was photographers protesting AI image generation. And I was thinking, there's another windmill for us to wave at, you know, at the same time. I just think that some of these changes are inevitable, especially when there's these kind of numbers behind them. So there you go. Adobe is doing really well with Creative Cloud. We know other software companies are looking at this, and this is probably the tea leaves for the future, not only 2023, but well beyond. Just released, photos for Mac OS Ventura and iPhone Essential Training. This is a title that I have done for LinkedIn Learning, and it was fun. It was fun to work on. I watched a number of the movies today, just came out. Let me read you just a little bit here so you know what's going on. With Photos for Mac OS, you can manage, enhance, and share photos in a variety of ways. It's evolved into a powerful but easy-to-use image application, and it's free. It's free. Unlike a lot of things that we've been talking about today. In this course, I take you on a detailed exploration of how to use photos for both the Monterey and Ventura versions, plus tips for iOS as well. I start with an exploration of the interface and then move into new features. Topics include how to remove duplicates from your library, which is new in Ventura, and it's very cool. Different ways to use live text to transform your camera into a personal assistant. How to search for pictures by object type, and that search has been getting better with every release of Photos. Now, when I search for an item, guitar, table, whatever, the results have been quite good. And I marvel at how well it works at times. You can automate common tasks with shortcuts and built-in Mac intelligence. You can now, you know, separate a subject. You can lift a subject out of a picture and then paste it in another application. There's just all sorts of good stuff. The importing process has been improved. If you haven't looked at Photos for a while, and you know, especially when we're talking about all these different ways that we're trying to manage our workflow, and if you do shoot with an iPhone, you already have Photos, right? And if you haven't investigated it for a while, I would recommend doing so. And remember, the editing extensions are plugins for Photos that provide a lot of power. So things like, you know, Luminar can be a plugin. Things like the On-One effects can be a plugin for Photos, and that really stretches it. So then you have the digital asset management of Photos. You have a lot of power with the plugins that work really well and integrate very seamlessly. And then if you have a good iCloud backup plan, you have a pretty nice little solution there that works really well. Anyway, I have a link in the show notes. If you want to take a look at the Photos for Mac OS Ventura and iPhone Essential Training, it's a nice little training. It will bring you up to speed. And if you already have a LinkedIn Learning account, I would definitely go over and take a look at it. Just see what you think. If nothing else, just to stay up to date on what's happening with that application. You never know when it may become time for you to start using it more. All right, let's take care of a little Virtual Camera Club news here. The Nimble Photographer newsletter is publishing every Thursday. It's a free newsletter. I talk about all sorts of stuff. Last week's newsletter has done super well. They've all been doing really well in the open rates. But last week's did even better than average. And that's where I shared some of my favorite printing tips to make printing easier, and included was a printing checklist that will help you have consistent, efficient results. All that in the newsletter. Every week it's going to be something different. It's a lot of fun. And there's a link in the show notes if you want to check it out. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members. We have some new Inner Circle members. Welcome aboard. Great to have you here. These are the folks that support our podcast month in and month out. They hang out on two sites, both on our Patreon site, and then also we have a group on Derek's Story Online just for Inner Circle members. Right now, they're sharing some of their favorite holiday photos, which is just a blast. I'm just so enjoying looking at what people are sharing and publishing. We do that kind of stuff. It's a great group, and you know, I feel like I know every one of them personally. If you're interested in joining the Inner Circle and helping to support this community, there's a Patreon tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. It would be a wonderful thing for you to do in 2023. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. Drew came on to our workshop last week, two sessions. The first session, he did a presentation and we did questions and answers during the presentation. And then he came back for a second session and it was all just Q&A and talk about printing. This guy, I mean, he was fabulous. He just, I tell you, he wowed everybody. He wowed everybody. And I tell you, the opportunity to talk to somebody who lives and breathes printing and then just say, you know, let me ask you this, or what should I do for that? And he's just like all over it. He was just all over it. It was really cool. This is the kind of support that this company gives our community. And you know, he's the boss man there. So we're not getting, you know, no knock on interns, but we're not getting an intern. We're getting the guy. And that's the kind of dedication they have to us. They have a tile on all the pages of The Digital Story. You ought to go over there, check it out, take a look at what they're up to. Buy some paper, do some printing. And they also have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And a big thanks to them for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. 2023, it's going to be here soon. Let's get ready. I'll be back next week with more interesting content. Until then, have a great week. Have a great holiday season. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.